This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. A new report from the Citizens Research Council of Michigan warns that the state is facing a new fiscally turbulent period after years of economic rebound. The CRC says a variety of factors will mean tough choices for policymakers in order to balance Michigan's budget in future years. Eric Lufer is the president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Gordon. I'm pleased to be able to join you again.
Can you spell out for us in just broad details before we get into the nitty-gritty, how big a problem is Michigan facing in terms of its state budget in the near future?
So Michigan has a $56 billion total budget, but much of that is set aside for school funding or set aside for road funding, a number of other things. And that leaves a discretionary fund, what's called the general fund, of $10 billion. That funds community health, corrections, higher education, human services, the state police, the apparatus that exists in Lansing, a number of different things, state revenue sharing. So that $10 billion is what we're talking about. And our report documents $2 billion, so about one-fifth of that total pie that is going to be set aside for different things over the coming years and really put a strain on the ability for the state to maintain those things that I just listed going forward.
One of the things you say early in your report is that the legislature has kicked many spending decisions down the road. If you can list a couple, what would they be?
So again, knowing these budget pressures are coming, the choice is to make up the money when they decided to create these business tax credits and the personal property tax reimbursement, the highway funding, all these types of things. There was some assumption that the existing taxes would grow at a pace sufficient to make up for them, and there would not be rising tide raises all boats type of thing. That hasn't happened. The economy, national economy, hasn't gone gangbusters, nor has the Michigan economy. So the choices going forward, maybe new taxes are necessary to make up that revenue that you assumed was going to happen organically. Failing to do that, you're going to have to make some cuts. And those things that I just listed, are we going to close some prisons so you can shrink the corrections budget? Are we going to continue to cut funding to higher education, which will result in higher tuition being charged to the students attending there? Are we going to continue to cut state revenue sharing to local governments? And what does that mean with fewer police and firefighters available to respond to emergencies? There's a number of ways this plays out. It's not a win-win situation for everyone with the way the economy's gone and these budget pressures that are ahead of our state.
So there are certain areas of spending that the state legislature really cannot touch. As you mentioned, there are certain parts of the budget which are discretionary, others which are not. But you also tell us that the hands of lawmakers are tied somewhat because of something called earmarking, caps on the sales tax rate, and then automatic rate cuts. So how do these things prevent lawmakers from perhaps bringing in more revenue that might be used to address a budget crisis down the road?
So over the years, services that are near and dear to the hearts of citizens and the legislators that represent us have gotten what we call earmarks, or it's a dedication of funds. So the sales tax is a perfect example that most of the sales tax money that comes in goes to the school aid fund. Another portion goes to state revenue sharing, constitutional set aside for local governments. And that leaves only a very small portion of it that is comes into the general fund for discretionary funding. So one response might be to increase the sales tax by one penny for a dollar of purchase. But what happens then is you put more money into the school aid fund, you send more money to local governments, and there's very little benefit for the general fund as a result of that. So yeah, that plays out. Could we increase the gas tax to come up with more money? Well, you would fund the roads, and maybe that frees up some money that you would not be taking out of the general fund, but it doesn't fix, you know, it doesn't directly fix the problem of insufficient funds to do everything that we have been doing to fund the general fund. So that plays out in a number of ways. Right now, 62-63% of the money that comes into the general fund is from the personal income tax. Only about 6% is from the sales tax, and about 12% from the use tax, about 8% from corporate income taxes. So as many taxes as the state levies, very few of them funnel in to help the general fund in any significant way. You also mentioned the provisions that are in state law that are going to be taking effect going forward. One of those is that the personal exemption for each person in a family is now indexed to the rate of inflation. That has been taking effect slowly, and we haven't really seen the effects of that, but the projections are that we're going to start seeing that soon. And that's a good thing from a taxpayer point of view, that you have your own cost to maintain your household and do the things you need to be exist as a human being, and that's what sort of the personal exemption's there for. But there's repercussions to the state. The more exemption you get, the less money flows in tax revenues. The other part of the income tax provision, they put in a provision that if the general fund grows at a rate faster than the rate of inflation, then the income tax rate will decrease by such an amount that the overall growth rate is only at the rate of inflation. And that will begin to lessen the tax rate on an overall basis. Again, you know, from a taxpayer point of view, you could see the benefit of that, and I definitely would appreciate paying less income taxes. But there's no provision that growth in one year is offset by less than inflationary growth in the next year, and the income tax rate's not going to go back up to make up the difference. So it will only cut over a number of years, and the end result, when you look at the big picture, is sort of the death by a thousand cuts. Not one of them so significant that it would make or break you, but in aggregate over a number of years, this is definitely going to be harmful for the funding the state general fund and funding these services that are funded through that fund.
The state also has a number of outstanding tax credits that might be claimed by businesses. How uncertain is that picture right now for the state, and how difficult does that make planning if you are someone in the legislature or working in the governor's budget office when you're trying to prepare a spending plan for Michigan's future?
So as I understand it, they put in some working with the businesses that have these tax credits outstanding to create a little bit of certainty, a little bit of planning opportunity to know when they're going to become. But inherent in giving these tax credits is a fair level of uncertainty. What these are about, you recall, 2001 through 2012 or so, Michigan was going through a pretty miserable time. The rest of the nation recovered from the 2001 economic recession. Michigan never really did, and we were losing businesses, losing manufacturing jobs. Things were not going so well. And part of the effort to offset the declining economic conditions was the provision of tax credits against the corporate business tax, called the Michigan business tax. When Governor Snyder came in, they changed the tax from the MBT to a corporate income tax, similar to what other states have. But those businesses that had these tax credits continue to file their taxes under the MBT, and they can continue to do so until these credits are claimed. Now, as a business, you're going to wait until it is most advantageous to you to offset the tax burden that you would have to pay, or similarly, the conditions have to be right that you've hired and maintained so many jobs before you can claim these credits. So there's not great certainty that you can look as the budget office and say, well, here's the number of credits and here's when they come due, there are some things beyond your control that are going to affect when businesses decide that it's time to claim those credits.
And when they do, that will mean additional pressures on the state budget.
Yeah, it is projected, again, not with 100% certainty, but projected that in the coming years, it is in excess of $600 million a year that will not be coming into the state because of these tax credits. And that directly affects the general fund.
The Healthy Michigan Plan, which of course includes the expansion of Medicaid in Michigan, is also going to have some impact on the bottom line. What do we know right now about what that means for Michigan's fiscal future?
So this is something that we're hearing a lot about in Washington, D.C. They're trying to figure out how to affect Medicaid funding, and part of that is part of the Affordable Care Act was what they called a Medicaid expansion to provide health care coverage to sort of the working poor, people that are working but not making so much money that they can afford to buy their own health insurance, and their companies certainly don't provide it. So it's called the Healthy Michigan Plan. And the way that the Affordable Care Act was written was those states that did go through this expansion would have 100% of their costs covered for the first couple of years. But over time, they would have to start paying a share of the cost. And that starts off small, but grows over time. When Michigan implemented this, they said at some point, if the cost of the state share is greater than the benefits received from it, then the program will stop. But that's not going to happen anytime soon. You know, we're looking at least a decade out before that really happens. So what we see is a $400 million hit on the budget coming in the next couple of fiscal years, and that's going to grow over time to in excess of $500 million by 2023. So again, a pretty major hit on the budget, some cost to maintain a healthcare coverage that has been very successful in how it's worked in the providing healthcare coverage to those people who would otherwise not have access to it.
Of course, what happens in Washington will have a lot to say about what happens in every state, including Michigan. So what are some of the big things to watch in terms of how proposed cuts at the federal level might impact Michigan's already somewhat sketchy budget future?
So again, Medicaid, how they deal with health care is a major part of that. Their direct attention, the news reports, has been on the sort of repeal and replace of the Affordable Care Act, which is how individuals and businesses, what requirements are them to provide health insurance, or what requirements for individuals to purchase health insurance. But their discussion has ranged into changing Medicaid funding, either reducing it or going to a block grant to states, and that will have negative consequences on the Michigan's ability to provide Medicaid services to its citizens. The Medicaid program is structured in a cost sharing, so the federal government picks up part of the cost and the state picks up the balance of it. And so any changes at the federal level will either mean more cost for the state, it has to increase its spending to make up the difference, or cutting that cost to only reflect what the state's willing to pay, which in the end means those with the least among us will have a cut in either the number of services covered by Medicaid, or change in eligibility to receive Medicaid, or a number of different things that could affect their ability to stay healthy and get the treatments they need. There's also a lot of talk about environmental cuts. Michigan, with the Great Lakes, with our forestry, with a number of other things, very tuned into environmental issues. If there's cuts in federal funding, does that mean the state needs to pick up the difference? Does that mean these things just don't get done? That's a, a decision that will have to be made, but it's going to have consequences for Michigan. Other places that the Trump administration has talked about that will affect Michigan: education cuts, housing and urban development, low-income energy incentives, the food stamps program — it's called now Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP — talking about changing that program and the funding for that program. There's a number of different services that are being discussed. Nothing is really written in ink yet, but a number of different things that are being discussed that will either require new costs for the state or a reduction of services for Michigan's residents.
Eric, as I read your report, I guess my takeaway is that Michigan is in for some tough times, even if the economy continues to grow at a healthy rate. The real concern, I suppose, would be if there is some sort of a downturn, if there's a recession. Is Michigan well prepared right now if there would be some sort of an economic slowdown?
Gordon, I don't think the question is if there's going to be a slowdown. I think the question is when there's going to be a slowdown. We are now 8 years removed from the end of the last recession, which was a very deep recession. And 8 years is an incredibly long time between economic downturns when you look at history and the sort of how the cycle plays out from one recession to the next.
So we're almost overdue to have some sort of an economic downturn.
Well, economists might say we are overdue.
Yeah.
So your question is, are we prepared for it? Well, we have, to the credit of Governor Snyder and the legislature, we have built up some rainy day fund to have some ability to withstand the beginning of a downturn. But we know from history that even the amount of money they've put away gets sopped up pretty quickly. The issue, going back to where we started, 60% of the general fund comes from income tax revenue. And when you think about what happens when there's a downturn, either people are laid off or they're taking pay cuts, or the stock market goes south, and so there's less earnings through dividends and things like that. All of that results in less income, which shrinks the income tax. So this general fund that we're talking about is very susceptible to changing economic conditions, and it's sort of the canary in the coal mine that it's going to feel the effects of a downturn faster than other parts of the state budget, the sales taxes and corporate income taxes and things like that are going to feel it. But it'll be elongated, feeling it later in the cycle. Is the state prepared? The state has went through this sort of thing a decade ago. Our organization, like a few others, was going around trying to help people understand at that time that we had both a structural budget problem and a cyclical budget problem. The cyclical budget problem would fix itself, but the structural problem required adjustments in state policies. And while there was some adjustment to give us the period that we've had over the last 6 or 7 years, they're building in new structural budget problems with these tax credits, with the highway funding spending, with the Healthy Michigan, the personal property tax reimbursement, so that we seem to be repeating the mistakes that we went through a decade ago.
So your report predicts that at the low end, there's going to be an impact of $2 billion on Michigan's general fund by fiscal year 2022. That's 20% of the general fund. Is there a way of explaining that? I mean, that's obviously a big number, but is there a way of explaining that that communicates to people just how severe the problem could be for Michigan, again, at the low end of what you're projecting?
Well, I go back to, again, what does that money buy? When you talk about 20% of a $10 billion budget, it's sort of abstract, but three out of every $10 are buying Medicaid funding and community health funding to help those with the least among us. And for every dollar the state spends on that, it's bringing in $3 from the federal government, that sort of match that we talked about. So you can cut funding to Medicaid, but that means that you're going to lose a whole lot more of federal money coming in. About two of every $10 that goes into the general fund is for corrections. So you can nip at the edges of that, but that's not going to really affect things. In order to really make any savings to that part of the budget, you need to close prisons. That either means consolidating prisoners into other facilities or changing policies on who really needs to be locked away from society. Who are we most afraid of? That will require some sort of policy adjustment to think about who should be retained in prisons and who should be left out. About $1.50 from each of the $10 that goes into the general fund, paying for higher ed and community colleges. So cuts there, again, we can expect to see more increases in tuition. While they've already escalated, I've got a daughter in college, I'm fully aware of how much tuition costs. And, you know, it plays out again. I mentioned state revenue sharing before. I think one thing that we can foresee is the statutory state revenue sharing that our bigger cities like Kalamazoo and Grand Rapids rely on to maintain the services that their citizens expect will be at risk, and that's going to affect police and fire and parks and libraries and a number of other things. It plays out in a number of different ways, and to take a 20% cut out of these services that are already less than they were going back to 2000, before you know things really started getting bad in Michigan, they've not really grown back to that level already. So we're talking about cutting them further, and that further affects the quality of life in Michigan.
Eric, as always, thank you very much for your time.
Gordon, I'm happy to do it, and I appreciate your time and your focus on our report.
Eric Lufer is the president of the Citizens Research Council of Michigan. The report on Michigan's budget future can be found at crcmichigan.org. Links are also available at wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.